podcast where we talk about anime and Japan and Asia and stuff about across the sea. I'm Dylan, and with me is the uncommon writer Sean.
Yo, what's up, everybody?
Via Skype, we are joined by the stupid awesome analyst John.
Yo.
And of course, a hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hello.
And everybody else not sitting on a cushion. Sorry.
Whatever that meant.
Dude, from A Knight's Tale? Don't worry about it.
I'm not going to worry about it.
That got cut. Anyway, so what are we talking about tonight, gentlemen?
Anime?
Well, other than anime. What kind of anime?
You can look forward to us talking about dubbing and remakes. I'm not sure what we'll be talking about because we haven't done that yet. So look forward to that. But for now, let's ring the news bell.
Now?
News.
No, not now. You already passed it. It was like a couple seconds ago.
News!
Whoa. There you go.
Damn.
Okay, guys. So first up in media, the Suisha Japanese Book Publishing Company, they have announced that they are going to be releasing a One Piece-themed cookbook. It is going to have 41 recipes, original recipes, from the actual show itself.
You get one piece of chicken, you get one piece
wait,
of...
Wait, hold on.
I was hoping you were going to say that. I really was.
Okay, so...
It's called portion control.
I know that One Piece has, like, this thing with, like, magical fruit and crap, but, like, where do you get that in real life?
The more you eat.
You get it from a 4Kids dub. It's not the fruit, obviously. It's like, there's, like, certain kinds of meats that they eat in the show and stuff like that, and other kinds of dishes. One of the characters in the show is a chef. Like, he's a pirate, but he's also a chef, so that's his thing. And, like, he's the main character of the cookbook.
Whatever happened to just being a pirate? Like, have you ever noticed nowadays that, like, you're
dude,
not just a pirate, you're like a pirate slash, I don't know.
Dude, today in this economy, you can't just hold down one job.
I don't think chefs would really be considered technically pirates, because they're probably always in the galley just making food. They're never really pirating anything.
Yeah, they're not really, I mean, taking over
other boats. They're just hanging around.
They're aiding and abetting.
They're just, like, hanging around with bad influence.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, the book...
He's a dessert pirate.
My mom
no,
wanted me to go to Johnson
and
Wales, but I got on this pirate ship.
Okay.
That
there
makes
him. Yeah.
So the book is developed by the master chef Nami Ijima. That chef wrote a book originally called Real Cuisine's Blockbuster Dishes from the Silver Screen. So their forte is recreating meals that are based on, like, from movies and TV shows and things like that. And so this person is now making a One Piece theme book. I wonder if that guy, that police officer from Silence of the Lambs is in that cookbook. You know, the guy who got his stomach eaten? Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
if there's anything from a Hannibal Lecter movie, I'd be a little hesitant.
There's, like, a Hannibal Lecter chapter. It tells you how to remove human brain without killing them.
Two pages of just, like, Fs, like...
Yeah, and with a side of fava beans.
Yeah, there you go. That's the last part.
That's just wrong. Moving on.
All right.
I draw the line at cannibalism.
We're already off the track. Talking about cannibalism.
Yeah, it seems right on track to me. The third Berserk movie has been announced in Japan. As everybody knows, the Berserk series, which was originally a manga, and then it got an anime, and now it has its own movie series for a remake. The third one in the series is coming out in Japan soon, and it has gotten an 18-plus rating for this time around. Mainly because it has
the equivalent of, like, an R rating over here?
No, 18 plus as in,
like NC-17.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Well, like, you have a whole bunch of R-rated content, which is either 16 or 17 plus, and then once you go over to 18 plus in anime, that's hentai.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's an 18 plus movie. So this movie has gotten that rating, and it's mainly for the over-the-top violence that they've added to it. But this is also going to include an arc that includes demon rape.
That good old arc.
Yeah, the story
can't
it's
have
based
hentai
off of
without demon rape, guys.
Yeah,
it's a classic arc.
The story that it's based off of is there's a female soldier in the army, but she's hiding her identity because females in medieval times couldn't fight, and so she hides her identity, and then the supernatural thing happens, and the demons come, and they find out
demons
that...
do what they do!
Yeah.
I guess demons just do that.
They do what they're notoriously meant to do.
If there's anything like anybody's learned from hentai, it's that demons like all the women.
Yup.
So we have that to look forward to later on.
Oh,
next
that's
up,
crazy.
The Evangelion 3.0 movie, which has recently been released in Japan. It's been out for a couple weeks now. Has officially been rated the highest grossing movie in Japan of 2012. It has collected over 1.2 billion yen, or 14 million U.S. dollars in its opening weekend.
Twilight beat out Twilight. That's pretty solid.
Yeah. Did you say it beat out Twilight? Twilight only made 14 million?
No, there's no way that's right.
No, dude. I was kidding, guys.
Oh, okay, because... Because
well,
I would say that's pretty
Twilight
pathetic.
Here, Sean.
I will punch you.
you don't
the
mess with
the only way to talk about Twilight is to make fun of it. Go ahead, guys.
Anyways,
see that time I was telling a joke that time. See how it works both ways?
Yeah, it's called riffing. We do it well.
Yeah.
We're listening. Go ahead.
Okay.
I know we understand that this is your podcast.
I know, and Dylan is like,
we're just
trying
to talk about anime over here.
You're just here to interrupt me and ruin my news pieces all the time.
And introduce Sean first for some reason.
Hey, that wasn't me. That was all him. I wasn't like holding up a sign or anything.
It goes,
said, introduce me first.
It goes first the worst, second the best, and for some reason the third's the golden bird, whatever that means.
What?
Damn, that means Andrew got it.
Oh, I did. Know. Yeah.
Unfortunately, fourth isn't a thing.
Oh, so that would actually mean Jonathan got third,
yeah.
I got second, and you were first.
And
he introduced himself first.
Andrew just isn't nothing.
Yeah,
he does. Conceited
anyways,
jerk.
I'm just
anyway,
a nothing.
Okay.
Highest grossing movie of
Japan.
2012 for Japan.
Yes, the end.
Japan.
The end. All I'm right. Sorry, we killed your news story.
It's all right. Most of it will be cut out in editing. The next piece that I wanted to talk about was just recently announced, which is Uma Thurman has been attached to a remake of Lady Vengeance.
You're totally incorrect.
Uma Thurman? It was Charlize Theron.
It was
Charlize
Theron.
Theron, the more attracting.
Holy crap.
Woman.
Yeah, I guess
well,
I was
I have
wrong.
To disagree there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay,
wait, really?
I'm a huge Uma Thurman proponent.
Well, guess what? You're going to be disappointed when Lady Vengeance comes out.
Yeah,
you're like, hey, I thought
Jonathan yeah, exactly.
was in this movie.
No, that's fine. No, I was excited for a moment, and then Dylan just took me right back down.
It wasn't me. Uma Thurman was never attached to it, so it's not my fault.
I blame Dylan wholeheartedly.
You can't handle the truth, Sean.
No, blame and fault are two different things. It may not be your fault, but I'm still blaming you.
Okay. I'll blame you for Twilight.
Oh, that's mean. I thought we were friends.
But anyways, the news story is Charlize Theron is attached to the remake of... dang it, I always forget the guy's name. Wook Chan Park? No, Park Chan Wook. That's the director's name.
It's always a combination of those three.
He made Old Boy, Lady... Sympathy for Lady Vengeance and Mr. Vengeance? Is that the third
yeah,
one's called?
That was the first one. Mr. Vengeance, Old Boy, and Lady Vengeance.
Yeah.
And I think Lady Vengeance might actually be my favorite.
Yeah, they're really, really messed up.
Yeah, they're
Korean
super
films.
Dark.
Sweet. Lady Vengeance was the one that had, like, a frame at the beginning and a frame at the end that just switched from color. So, like, the whole movie, it was just slowly
yeah.
more and more desaturated until the very
yeah,
end
the,
was black and white. Right?
Yeah, the whole movie just slowly loses yeah. its color progressively.
Wow,
yeah.
That's really cool.
It was
yeah.
it was really cool because we didn't even catch it until like the most brutal part of the movie and of the movie. I'm sorry, and it just like hit us. We're like, is it black and white now? And all this like crap's going on. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
Wow, how noir! I mean, like that's it sounds really cool. I think I need to check that out.
No,
yeah.
you should actually check out all the Vengeance movies. In fact, everybody who's listening, if you haven't seen the Vengeance trilogy yet, do it.
Mm-hmm. And well, yeah, either do that or you could wait until.
Charlize
looks like,
Theron
yeah, it looks like
ruins Uma Thurman's stuff and makes Lady Vengeance.
but yeah, it looks like they're making a couple American remakes because we already talked about in one episode about the remake for Old Boy.
You're right. Actually, yeah, we did. Actually, as a matter of fact, did they announce who the director was? Is it going to be Spike Lee?
Yeah, I think it was Spike Lee, yeah.
Okay, so he's doing the entire...
Are these, like, crazy over-the-top action movies?
No. They're, like...
They're very dark.
Yeah. Oh.
Dark, okay, messed up revenge.
Yeah, Spike Lee's totally cool with that. I was just saying, like, if it's over-the-top action, I was like, why would you not go with the RZA? But never mind. Just ignore me. I'll be over here.
But, not knowing stuff.
So. We're excited for that.
Yeah. Okay, so next up in news, we're going to move on to games now.
Okay.
All right, the Japanese video game company.
Sticks, boys, let's go.
The Japanese video game company, Compile Hearts, have created a new card playing game for the PlayStation Vita. It's called Master Monpiece, or Monmon for short.
Monmon.
It's up for release in January. What's so special about this game is that it's being called the greatest Eroj game ever made. And the only reason why it's being called that is because it's using the full advantage of the touchscreen that the PlayStation Vita comes with on the female models who are the main characters of the game. Let that sink in for a moment.
On that? I don't really know what that
means. What's Eroj?
Are you serious? Eroj. Erotic.
Erotic games. You can touch the girls.
Sex.
Ah, gotcha. That thing.
Yes, Sean.
Well, I mean, I assume that that's where you guys were going with that, but I was like, not 100%. And I'm always of the philosophy. It's like, if I'm not sure, that means somebody else isn't sure, which means I need to go ahead and ask because they're going to feel like an ass and not ask.
No, we all know what you're talking about.
Well, clearly not. I had to ask. okay, so, but, like, is this, like, a serious game, or is this, like,
from what I gathered, it's just gonna be a game that is, like, everybody has seen those games that are just card games, you know, on virtual handheld systems.
Yeah.
Where, like, I don't know any examples. I know a couple, but I don't want to...
Well, like, Eye of Judgment was for the PlayStation, it wasn't for a handheld system, but that was a card game.
Right, but well, yeah.
We know
okay,
what you're
so
talking about, though.
Yeah, it's like a computer version of Magic, except this one has a feature that all of the main characters in the game can be virtually touched using the touch screen on the pad.
So is it like Strip Yu-Gi-Oh, basically?
No, actually, I don't even think there's any
God,
nudity in the game.
That is such an awesome idea.
No, oh, no.
No, because
no,
it's
Sean,
like eight
can't
girl,
play.
No, I'm not playing with you. Shut up.
All right, I'm gonna move on.
Oh, no, a trap card.
Oh, it's a trap card. Get it? Gross. All right, I'm gonna move on before this gets any stranger. Oh, wait, it's strange news time. What?
What?
It's time for strange news.
I heard you.
Go. All right, do it. Strange news.
Okay. So the first story in Strange News tonight is actually kind of heartwarming, if not a little strange. This dude in Japan, he just got married recently over the weekend. And you know
congratulations,
how...
Congratulations, dude.
Yeah. And you know how in normal tradition, how they step on a bottle in
it's
order
Jewish.
To... Yeah, okay, they step on a, and break a bottle.
Jewish, buddy.
Instead of crushing the bottle, this dude had opted to crush all of his save data for his Love Plus game. Meaning that he was giving up his virtual love for his new real-life love.
In a way that's both weird and romantic.
Right, that's what I said before.
Well, and I'm really hoping that that's kind of a step forward for all, like, the hikikomoris and neets in Japan. Like, they're actually going out and venturing out and getting married.
Maybe.
But probably not.
Yeah, let's be honest.
So they can be married in separate rooms.
through the wonder of the internet, they all
just
play Final Fantasy together.
They'll just fold their clothes neatly outside the door.
Stop it.
All right, next up in strange news. In China, we have some homeowners who refuse to sell their land to the Chinese government for road development.
For them. Way to be entrepreneuring people.
No, well, just wait.
Yeah,
it probably gets bad.
Well,
it's China after all.
In response to this, the Chinese government just built a roundabout around their house. So now they just have a road, a circular road going around their house 24/7.
Yeah, I likened it to like an inverse cul-de-sac. So like
instead of being at the end of the road, you're in the middle of it.
Yeah, it's just like a house in the middle with road all around it. And like the road isn't like, you know, 20 feet away from the house. It's like less than a sidewalk's like width, like less than 3 feet away from the house.
Yeah. Wow. They,
all around it.
They were kind of douchey about it.
Yeah.
Wait, China was kind of a douchebag about something?
Weird, right?
Jeez. They have done one good thing lately, and that's the Demonoid servers are apparently going to be set up in Shanghai because, yeah, I don't see UN trying to impose any sanctions upon China for having, like, pirated stuff. Yeah, let's go raid China. I don't see that ending well.
The reason behind, you know, them not selling their house was because the Chinese government actually offered them a substantially low amount of money in order to buy their land from them, like way less than what they even used to buy the land for their house in the first place, or even build the house on it. So instead,
that's the nice thing about the United States is even though the government here even has the right to do that, also they have the right to. There's still the law of eminent domain, which means if...
You've lost me. I don't know what you just said.
Oh, well, no. This is actually like a thing because this is what's going on in China. Our government, if it tries to take your property, has to give you at least market... Like, it's actually in, I believe, the Constitution. They have to give you the market price. They have to give you the amount that your land is worth. They can't just take it for no reason. And they can take it, but you have to be... properly compensated for it, and that's it's known as eminent domain. China just did that, but they didn't want to do that.
They found a loophole.
Yeah.
Oh, roundabout jokes.
I was just throwing in a little bit of factual knowledge in there. Stuff I kind of know. Yeah.
And thank you for contributing, Sean.
Yep. And the fart joke.
Okay, so last up in strange news. We have another news piece from China. A mother bought her young daughter the anime series Madoka Magica, which is fairly popular in Japan right now. It's a magical girl series, but it's actually not for children. It's a super dark series, and it has really mature content in it, and it's not for kids. So the first strange thing about this is that the mother bought this for her daughter. Young daughter, too, by the way. I think she was, like, 6 or something. But, so, they get home. The mother goes out shopping. And the daughter watches the anime. When the mother comes home, the daughter is just completely quiet and silent. Won't eat her dinner or anything like that. And for the next couple days, she just mopes around and is being awfully strange. The mother then decides to pry, you know, at her, asking what's wrong. And the daughter came out and told her, saying that the second half of the DVD that she was watching was complete pornography. And the reason for that was the mother didn't know, but she just bought a straight pirated copy of the Madoka Magica series. Needless to say, the girl is traumatized by this. And
guess we're starting the birds and bees talks a little bit earlier than the
birds and bees. That seems like where we're going, but it's going to be the birds and bees in therapy.
Because you really can't lead with when two people love each other a lot when you just watched hardcore porn. That just didn't happen.
No, I don't know. Did it mention whether it was anime or not? Because I don't know.
Oh, wow. If it was hentai, that's even worse.
I don't... It didn't...
It would have been
when a girl loves a tentacle a whole lot. Sorry, I went way left field on that one, guys.
This episode is going weird places.
Oh, man.
It is strange news.
Sean,
it
is. Yeah, he takes you there.
That's it for strange news. And that's it for news.
What did you think, Sean?
Nothing.
That's what I thought.
Shut up. That kind of sums all that up, doesn't it?
Sean, what have you been watching?
Watching stuff and things. I actually started Eureka 7. Because of the incident over the Eureka 7 AO review. Legitimately, I was like, well, I never finished Eureka 7, so I guess I'll go back and watch that. So I've watched like the first 4 episodes of Eureka 7. I also picked up Superhero Tyson X, Super Sentai X, whatever, Kamen Rider, which was one of the summer movies that came out in Japan, which is one of the summer movies for fours, was Power. It was pretty much Power Rangers versus Kamen Rider, and it was nothing but, like, the whole movie was Kamen Rider Decade, which had the ability to become all of the writers, like, all of the recent writers, versus Captain Marvelous of Sentai Gosiger, which was the pirate one where, like, he could become Sentai members from all the years past. So it was, like, becoming every, like, Kamen Rider and Power Ranger ever fighting each other. It had, like, the worst storyline ever. After, like, 10 minutes, I was just like, well, I'll be suffering my way through the next hour and a half. So that's what I've been watching.
That concept sounds awesome, though.
Execution, not so much.
You gotta have some really awesome fight scenes in there, though, at least, right?
Is it like, oh, I'll be like such and such Sentai character, and he, like, throws down like a smoke bomb, and then you see him walk off screen?
No. Okay, so Decade has the Decade buckle, which he, like, puts cards in, and that's what changes him.
Yeah.
Gosiger has, I swear to God, these little, like, action figures of the Power Rangers, like, all the different Sentai members. They, like, click them. They, like, flip up and become a key, and they go into his, like, transforming device. Oh, God, it's so ridiculous. Apparently, because I don't watch Gosiger, I knew that they had the ability to, like, become all of the other different Sentai series. But, like, man, wow. First of all, they're pirates. They're pirate Power Rangers, because, again, you can't just be a pirate.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
They're pirates and also temps.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was just, it was rough. And then they took, one of my favorite Kamen Riders was the secondary writer from Decade, D End, who was, like, just a badass with a gun. Ended up becoming, like, the bad guy. Oh, spoilers. Ended up becoming the bad guy of the movie. So I was like, what the hell, man? So, John, what are you watching?
What am I watching? I have been watching, I forget if I talked about this last episode. Did I say that I finally finished Eureka 7 AO?
Yeah, you did. I don't remember, because
I assumed you did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that finally came out and I finished it. I couldn't remember whether or not I had.
Don't ruin it for me. I haven't gotten that far.
I'm not going to ruin it. It's great, though. If you haven't seen the other episode.
Well, now I know it's great. Thanks, John.
And the other thing that I picked up this week, or last week now.
It wasn't weights, I'll tell you that much.
It was, you can't even see him. That's, like, just mean.
I don't have to see him.
It was
a book.
Probably would have been good.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It was a series called Magikoi O Samurai Girls.
Wait. Just before you go any farther. Is it a magical girl anime?
No.
Samurai Damn. Girls?
No. Yeah. It is about samurai girls, though. It's about this this school that trains warriors, and it's set up, like, the entire first episode, you wouldn't even be able to tell it's a harem, but the first episode was just one long action scene, and it was basically what Dynasty Warriors would look like if it was an anime. The second episode...
Dynasty Warriors is not an anime?
It's a video game.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was confused.
The second episode takes a complete left turn away from what the first episode brought. And it's just, like, regular harem fan service-y stuff. Like, they did this battle in the first episode for an entire half hour. And then the second episode, they were looking for a lost dog. And... It was so weird. There was no action in it or anything like that. It was just looking for a lost dog. We love the main character, and we're gonna get naked sometime.
Did it pick up at all?
No, it really didn't. I actually didn't finish the second episode. It was so bad.
Wow.
And
you guys are, like, tenacious.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. No. It wasn't good. But that's that's the one that I thought I'd try. And it was actually the English dub of it too. Which is relevant to tonight's. So I'm not going to mention anything about it now. I'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Andrew, is it my turn? Yeah?
Probably.
All right. So I've been continuing to watch Ranma. I'm on season 4 So that's cool. And it's
so we have three seasons left.
Yeah, after four, that is. I'm only halfway through season four.
Keep chugging, buddy.
Oh man, it's an adventure, but it's staying good. And that's the one thing when I keep mentioning it that I keep stressing is it stays consistently good. So, it's still like one of the coolest animes I've seen. It's so funny, just perfect. And then I've been continuing to watch the Helsing OVAs that I got. I still have one episode left to watch, finally. And then I believe two more should be coming out from Funimation. Hopefully it doesn't take them another 4 years to bring those out.
Surprise, 6 years later.
For two episodes. There's only two left.
It's a bit of 20-year anniversary, you'll finally get them.
Yeah. And they don't release them individually. They release them in a pack of all 10.
By then it'll be on Thought Ray discs.
Brain Tube.
It'll be on Brain Tube. Brain Tube!
You have to buy them all over again anyway.
Cause... Sounds like a show from the 90s. Brain Tube!
And then, I can't remember if I mentioned this last episode or not. I think I didn't because I my intention was to. But I finished all of JoJo. Does anybody remember me saying that? I think so.
I think you did, but this...
I mean, I know that you watched JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I didn't know where you stood.
So, yeah, after the Maname episode that we recorded, I got the 1993 OVA from Kent. Mm-hmm. So we watched the 2000 OVA, then I watched the 1993 one, which, ironically, is the consistent way to watch it if you want to watch it from beginning to end. And then of course, Jonathan and I are watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure as it's coming out in Japan, the new series, with Jonathan Joestar. They're about to start Joseph Joestar, which is, it's just awesome. It's so good. Talk about Maname. Dylan, do you have anything that you watched this week?
Sociology reference for you guys.
Yeah.
I assume you just said, it's my turn. I couldn't really hear you. But
yeah, but typically we just skip right past you.
What did you say?
Your mic's cutting out a little bit, guys.
I said typically we skip right just past you.
Yeah.
Well, that's because I haven't watched a whole lot. But this past week I did. I wanted to watch something at least. And I wanted to watch like a couple episodes of some shows that I've been meaning to start. And I know I'm only watching one episode. I should probably watch more. But I watched the first episode to Gravion. Or Gravion. I think it's Gravion.
I think it's Gravion.
Which is it's a pretty cool, just like over the top mech show right now.
Is that what it is? See, it's been floating around like my universe for a little while now, but I haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah, I'd wanted to like check it out because it seemed really cool. The first episode just had a lot going on. But it was entertaining, at least.
It was like an entertaining busy and not like a...
Yeah, because it was like 22 minutes and they introduced like, I don't know, seven characters, and then, like, also, like, what's sort of going on. I don't know, it was another one of those things where it was just, like, half confusing, half, like, entertaining.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll explain it later anime?
Yeah, exactly. Because, like,
Was it more of a hook, or just confusing? Like, did it sink you in, or
It was a hook. I think I say it was confusing just because I was aware of, like, a lot of different things going on. It was just, like, the guy who seems to be the main character was sort of thrown into this battle, and then they sort of do a battle, and then it's like, while that's all going on, it's cutting to other people having conversations about different things, and then it'll cut back, and then all of a sudden this dude shows up in like a ship, and he's like, I'm Shadow something.
That's the bad guy.
No, he's a good guy.
Damn!
At least
The Shadow is named Shadow?
Shadow's something. Like, they have names for their pilots of whatever they're piloting.
Call signs?
I'm only one episode in, but
tell us more, Dylan.
Right now is basically about, I guess, like an alien force coming to Earth, like typical mech animes, very original.
damn aliens.
But this guy who lives in a Castlevania-esque castle, I guess, has made a bunch of giant mech weapons, and he's fighting... Or, well, he's not. He's just letting teenagers fight the aliens.
So, we're putting teenagers in robots again?
Yeah, I know. It's brand new. Brand new concept. Brand new.
When are they ever going to let, like, qualified people drive these giant robots.
Or old people. Like, can you imagine,
makes,
like, just a mecha?
I
mecha
makes the show, but it also seems like it's quite fan service-y.
Oh, I'm so surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm only one episode in, so I can't really say how much.
How far they're going to go with it.
Yeah.
They need to make a mecha series where it's just all elderly old people driving the mechas.
No, they don't.
No, there was an episode of Gunsword where that sort of happened, where it was basically the plot was the main character came to a village, and the village used to be protected by, like, sort of a Sentai group that would get into, like, a Voltron-esque mech that would combine. And all the people were just super old that would drive it. It was, and like, it was pretty funny because in the end they finally like get the band back together. And
I can dig that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Pretty sweet.
So let's move on to our topagachi, which will be about dubs and remakes. So explain that.
Yeah. Well, last Friday we recorded this episode 9 of the podcast. And it didn't go so well, so I think now that we're all gathered together again...
Wait a second. I don't think this is episode 9. Isn't it 8?
It might be 8.
Wow.
Looks Welcome like we're going to have some redubbing to do.
Go ahead.
Okay, anyway.
Screw
so,
it. Even if it is 8, no, we're going to go with 9. There will be no 8.
It's episode 8, episode 9.
26. Welcome to... episode 26.
Dude, it's whatever number we tell them it is.
It's episode pi.
So this anyway. Is our show. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about bad dubs, which was last episode, and the remake, which is this episode. So okay. Let's do it. Let's start out with a pretty general question. Has anybody seen an anime that they really liked, but... it was ruined by the dub? Because I know
well,
I have.
Well, wait a second. Let's kick it off like this. I think the best thing to get the best of both worlds while we talk about this is the original Akira movie. When it was first dubbed in 1981? I can't remember, but that was like before English voice actors were invented. So,
do you mean
so
like they... born or hired?
It was before all of them
No,
were
Sean.
Conceived.
Anyway,
I think he was upset with this.
Anyway, so in I believe it was the early 2000s, they redubbed the entire movie and re-released it with a whole new voice cast, new professional voice cast from our generation, like Johnny On Bosch and Steve Bloom, etc. So it came out sounding much, much better. So bad dub. To good dub, kind of remade. So we'll start with that as a thing. So what are some bad dubs that you guys have seen?
I really just don't care. Because usually when I watch something, I also, like, I might be doing something else on my computer or something else. I don't know. So it's easier for me to just listen and not have to physically, you know, pay attention and read subtitles. But sometimes I guess prefer to read the subtitles if I really like the show, just to see it in like the original form, the way it was meant to be. But I really just don't have a preference, so I can't really think of any.
Oh, I want to go last on this because you guys just handed me something.
I feel that sometimes you're right, Dylan. Sometimes for you get, like, a bit more of a raw emotion out of Japanese voice actors. Sometimes it feels like... I don't know whether or not it's that, like, we just don't understand the inflection that Japan uses when they speak. And, like, maybe they're doing it terribly, too. But it's just different to us because we don't understand. We have to read the subtitles. And we have to imagine the inflections that they're using on certain things. So it kind of fills in the gaps by itself for us. Mm-hmm. I, however... have no preference to...
Actually, can I stop you before you start? Because I think I could sort of, like, at least with Naruto, I think I might have preferred to watch it in Japanese because in English, it's... They tried to make it more of a kid show, so they took out a lot of, like, the swearing and stuff. And I think I would have enjoyed it a little bit more. I don't think he would have been quite as annoying in Japanese as he was in the English dub.
No, it you're totally right, because it was the same thing with... all right, I'm going to mention it again. Bakugan. The first...
You like those rolling ball monsters.
whatever. The first season of Bakugan, which was originally done in Japanese, they did the same thing where they had some really nice voice actors in Japanese, and yeah, they might have said a curse word or two, and then they totally 4Kids'd it out when it got sent to Canada, and the dubs were just so robotic, you know, you can't do that, kind of a thing. So instead of actually yelling at each other, they'd be kind of whining at each other, and they wouldn't actually be using any sort of infliction. So English Bakugan, bad dub, good sub, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Naruto as a character just seemed much more childish when I would hear, like, the English dub.
Believe it.
The way that was said so many times, at least in English, I found it much more annoying than it was in Japanese.
Well, he didn't even say it in Japanese, technically.
Well, there were some times when he would say it, but I don't think it was quite as often. Because he'd probably say, damn it, in the Japanese, and then it would just say, believe it, in English.
One of the ones that I want to bring up, which is absolutely hilarious, is actually one of my favorite animes to watch, just because it's so fun, Genocyber. Which is an anime that started in the 80s, I believe, and in Japan it went through all through the 80s, but in America it wasn't released completely all at once. They released it every 5 years or so. So they've made the first dub of the first episode, which was actually pretty good. It wasn't fantastic, but it was good. Same with episodes 2 and 3. And then years later, in like 1995, I think it was a jump between 1987 to 1995, was episodes 4 and 5 redub. So at that point, they were just straight, oh yeah, remember that license we have for Genocyber? Oh yeah, we should totally just finish that right now. And that's what it sounded like when they finished the dub. It was terrible. It was so bad, but it was really funny. And
I'm not familiar with it, so I can't really comment one way or another.
Yeah.
You should check it out. It's fun to watch.
I've heard some of it. What was that one where the guy's like walking around in the Undercity or something like
that? Oh yeah, Dylan, you were around. Remember, because I was making it for the hardcore panel and I showed you. It was like, oh my god, a monster. Oh wait, no, it's just a statue.
I think I might remember that. I just remembered, this isn't even anime, but I remember when we watched Unbok 2.
Oh, contest edition?
So basically, we had a version that was, like, from China, so it was, like, subbed in English by Chinese.
That's from terrible. Thai.
It was awesome.
So it was awesome. It was so awesome.
Parking!
Yeah, parking. And then the initiation fight, the speech was... brothers and ladies, contest, all who will participate in contest here.
He's just like, contest, okay.
Wow.
All who will participate in contest. And then he says one long sentence, but the subtitle only reads, here. So, needless...
Oh, those wacky Asians.
Yeah, needless to say, that DVD is now dubbed the contest edition.
Yeah, the parking one was when this guy was being carried on, like, some sort of platform, and he just holds up his hand to signify, like, stop, and then he just says, parking!
Yeah.
Example that I have, well, actually, part of it was the Maji Koi one that I was just talking about, the Oh Samurai Girls. That English dub, that I was actually watching it in English because it was just currently released by Sentai Filmworks, which is why I watched it. And I don't know if you guys know, but Sentai Filmworks is notoriously bad at doing dubs. And some of their shows only come out subbed because they can't, like, afford good voice casts.
Which is actually kind of shocking because Chris Ares, who is a Funimation voice actor, is one of the ADR directors over at Sentai Filmworks. So it's kind of shocking how they don't come out well.
Well, yeah, and even Maji Koi had a really good cast, too. They had, like, an endless list of people that you knew from even Funimation. And it was just kind of like, oh, we don't really care. That's what it kind of sounded like when it came across. Especially there was, like, one character. The character that she played was a monotone character. But when she, like, did the voice acting for it, it wasn't, like, a character being monotone. It was, like, say your lines like you're a block of wood. It just didn't turn out good at all, and
like
it was just like
phoned it in,
like your rhyme.
What?
Nothing. Don't worry about it. You just rhymed the last. Never mind.
Continue. Oh, awesome.
Let's keep it going, Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
Okay. And another one that's really interesting. I'm not sure if we want to talk about this just yet, but an anime that I really, really enjoyed, which is a guilty pleasure for me. Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt is a really fun anime, really dirty and nasty.
It is totally a guilty pleasure.
Yeah. Sean, have you seen it?
Yeah, are you kidding?
Okay, have you seen it in English?
No, I didn't know they did it in English.
Okay, yes, Funimation released it in English. And
I can't see that going off on English.
Exactly.
At all.
It's not. The dub is done very well and everybody speaks their lines very good. It's the problem with it was meant to be in Japanese.
Yeah, like that's a whole bunch of mouth not matching.
Yeah, not even that. It's just the fact that like Panty and Stocking, their characters, they speak Japanese, but like when they swear and stuff, they say it in English.
Yeah, so that joke is completely lost.
Yeah, it's that's part of the humor is that like you have
in Japanese then.
Yeah, it's like That would be a way to fix it, but they don't do that.
Yeah.
And in return, it's a good dub, you know, it's a passable dub, and it's really fun, you know, to hear. And some of the jokes are really funny in the translation, but it's just not as good as the Japanese.
It's a straight, you have to watch it in Japanese because that's where the jokes make sense.
Yeah. All right, so on that note, I'm going to go ahead and butt in and drop what I was about to say, when it comes to bad dubs, I watch Power Rangers, guys. I mean, seriously, like, trying, because they're not even bad dubs. They, like, try to dub the script.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. Like, there's nothing worse than watching, like, English words coming out of, like, the actor's mouth. Like, you're hearing English, but, like, the body language and everything else, or, like, let alone the fact that, like, the character may be, like, a chick in like, the English version, and then in, you know, the Japanese version, that was totally a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yellow Ranger syndrome.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to bad dubs, like, which is why I can't watch Power Rangers anymore. Oh, like, the stuff that comes out in the United States? I'm, like, sitting here, I'm like, this was so much better in Japanese. You guys have butchered it, you terrible people, you
putties.
Putties. What?
Come, it was a Power Rangers reference, Sean.
No,
come
on. I just, like, followed suit, and I don't even know what I was doing there.
You said, so you got that?
No, shut up.
Oh, come on.
But anyway, yeah, when it comes to, like, bad dubs, like, honestly, like, anytime you bring it over into English, it's just going to lose some of that magic that makes it what it is. Because
that's
a lot of
funny stuff
in Japanese is so culturally, like, inclusive to what, I mean, like, honestly, there's jokes that we still don't even get just because we're not from freaking Japan.
Have you ever been watching, like, an anime and, like, this happens all the time and I just find it funny when, like, it'll say the subtitle down at the bottom and then it'll just have a paragraph of text at the top explaining the joke?
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Because,
yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God, that
like
happens
puns
all the time in Kamen Rider.
It's
because
only up for, like, a split second. You're like, oh, that word means that someone...
Oh,
oh
damn, pause. Damn it, pause it.
It always happens. It always seems to happen when, like, somebody makes a pun too, because a lot of the kanji means, like, can mean different things,
yeah,
but it can sound the same.
Yeah,
and that's where they
puns
always say it, like, whenever somebody
baseball
gives somebody a nickname of some sort, that pops up at the top of the screen.
Yeah. So that honestly is what kind of kicks me in the balls is watching just regular Power Rangers.
That's actually a really interesting take on the matter, is the fact that, like, you know, completely taking footage and moving it over to the Americas to make a make a completely new show.
South America.
You know, which is funny because, like...
North America.
Okay, so, like, one of the things that I think a lot of people get...
Middle Earth America.
Would you shut up? I think one of the things that a lot of people get into when they first, like, are getting into, like, this kind of Japanese cinematography is, like, stuff like Godzilla, which, let's be honest, we know has some terrible dubs out there. oh my god, he's crushing the city! Not even what he's saying.
Oh no, the...
Or, like, stuff like Ultraman, which is, like, some of the earliest stuff that I ever got to watch. Like, terrible dubs. But, like, in those instances, they were trying to be, like, really true to, like, what was going on in the Japanese, and they were just trying to sell it to an American audience. And there wasn't always, like, that connection there. Right. But, like, Power Rangers, they're like, nah, Saban's like, I'm going in here, and we're going to make some stuff and some money and some toys. Let's do this. He's like the Michael Bay of children's programming.
Yeah. I didn't know Saban was one person.
Yeah, Haim Saban.
Oh, okay.
He's like, the dude that actually owns Saban. Yeah, so.
Ironically, he's not American.
Yeah.
From the Americas?
No, I from think all he's of like them. European or something. I don't even know.
Okay, Sean.
I thought he was, I'm not, whatever, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's what's going on there. Mm-hmm. But that was my little intro into that, so. So what, remakes now? Are we doing remakes?
Like, yeah, let's do remakes.
What's your favorite remake, guys?
Favorite remake? Holy cow.
Red Dawn.
No, anime.
Well, I'm going to...
Recall.
Just to keep the airwaves alive, the Evangelion movies are an awesome remake.
Are they?
Yeah, they really are, actually.
And I was going to say, like, Full Metal... Alchemist Brotherhood was so much better than the original.
Well, I could say the same thing about Hellsing Ultimate, because the Hellsing Ultimate is, you know, the exact translation from manga to anime.
I think that's a really weird concept that happens with Japanese television, is that they'll do, like, a series, and then sometimes, like, when it's really, really successful, they'll just redo it, which I find is really weird. I can't imagine them doing that in America. Like, oh, yeah, like, Lost was really successful. Let's just redo Lost.
But like, what? They do that every, like, season of, like, Survivor.
I think reality TV is a little bit different.
Yeah. Oh, well, no, but, like, when you look at it at the core...
I have not seen a smoke monster on Survivor yet.
but at the core, like, they're just like, oh, this worked, let's just do this again. But, like, reality television is the only thing they do that with over here. Wait, no. American Horror Story is apparently something that they're going to be doing that, like...
But that's not technically redoing. That's just, like, a different family moving into the house. You go through your story, then that's successful, and then let's do the exact same story...
Same characters, everything else.
Everything, but let's focus a little bit more on this and this and this and add this and redo it all again. I find that concept, though, to be a little weird. Like, we don't have any of that in
the... Yeah, now that you mention it, sorry, I take that back. You're very right on that one.
What are some really bad remakes?
Footloose.
I know of one.
Stop it.
I know of one really bad remake.
What's that?
Oh, the Eureka 7 movie.
Oh, what are you talking about? That's awesome. Everybody go watch it.
Wait, is it bad?
No, yeah, it's just so comically, like, Eureka 7 itself was confusing, but, like,
But really good.
Is really confusing.
Yeah, no. Because
they took, like...
Is it, like, all the... it's, like, all of the high notes of Eureka 7 without all of the explanation?
No, not really.
Because no, not even close.
It's literally, let's just take... What it basically did is they took all the characters from Eureka 7 and put them in an entirely different story. It completely different. I mean, it might have had, like, a similar arc, but all of the details were
wrong.
Different.
Well,
not necessarily
wrong.
I think we had said that we felt like Bones really just wanted to make a different movie, but they needed, like, a hook, so they put, like, Eureka 7 in.
Yeah, that's what I explained earlier. I think it was in a different episode where I said they really wanted to make a different movie, but they didn't have the budget to make new character designs and new anything designs. So they just recycled the Eureka 7 characters and just call it Eureka 7.
Yeah, I would be interested to see... Oh, wait, no, we already... I think we talked about this already. To see if somebody who hadn't seen the original Wreck of Seven, what they thought of the movie, but I...
Maybe I should stop right now, then.
No, because we came to... we did talk about this before. I don't think it was on the podcast, necessarily, but we came to the conclusion that the only reason we were able to understand certain things from the movie was because we saw a Wreck of Seven.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, we could still do the experiment, though, because I'm only, like, four episodes in, I'm still really confused.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Still wouldn't... Still be terrible. It wouldn't even spoil anything for you, because it's completely different.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But what about the Gantz movie? Did you guys see the Gantz movie?
I saw the live... I've seen both the... Let's see, I've seen the anime,
yep,
and I've seen the live action.
Yeah, and the live action was not a good remake.
Well, hold on. Well, that's going off the assumption that the anime was good in the first place.
This is true.
Wait, you guys didn't think the anime was
good? Oh my gosh, Gantz was terrible, dude.
Gantz was horrible.
Okay.
To answer your question,
I've
never seen Gantz.
Disagree.
There's nothing polite about you.
Really? I'm actually more shocked that you liked Gantz.
Really?
Well, he likes Uma Thurman, so there you go.
Oh, shut the hell up. You're a Charlize Theron liker.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all.
No, I honestly feel like it's one of those things that, like, if you didn't like it, I respect the fact that you didn't like it. What I took away from it was not so much the fact that it was, like, a good anime or anything. It's more of a...
bad anime.
Shut up. It's more of a... I took a lot of, like, stylistic inspiration from it. Like, I like...
The hell does that mean?
Exactly what it means. Like, I took a lot of inspiration for the damn thing. It was... I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I was struck by it. Like, I thought there was something really neat and innovative about it. And I can't put my finger on it, which means that, to me, has always meant that it isn't good. It just means I enjoyed it. So, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you guys, but I am. Shut up, Dylan. One of these days, I'm going to say something to strike you.
One of these days!
Anyway, guys. No, it was...
You're
it was
in
just,
my apartment. I could probably hide your body pretty easily.
I'm huge. No, you can't.
There's a big, big field right behind my apartment, dude.
Dude, fat people are hard to move. Dude, the moment you kill me and I'm a body...
Dude, I have a couple, like, saws and knives and stuff.
Okay, well, that's smart, but let's
I don't have any saws.
Whoa, we're not doing the horror episode. We stay focused.
You know, one of the interesting things that I just thought about, too, somebody we talk about literally every week, Mamoru Hosoda, who did...
God, we were just talking about that a moment ago.
Dylan, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but... apparently, Summer Wars is the story that he made for the Digimon movie, except he just made it with an original cast.
I can see that.
Yeah, I haven't seen the original Digimon movie that he directed, but apparently it's the same exact concept as Summer Wars.
I haven't seen it since it originally came out and I bought the soundtrack to it, which was my first CD.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Like, Summer Wars even, like... Some of the characters in Oz, the, like, virtual world, even look like Digimon to me.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
King Kazuma totally looks like one of the Digimon.
Was Greymon in it? Because he's, like, my favorite.
Sure. Sure it was.
I still need to see some awards. Leave me alone.
Yeah, you do. Oh, okay. So, I've got a great answer for best remake for me.
Okay, I'm sitting down.
Hit me.
Thundercats.
Go to hell.
What? Why?
Honestly, do you want me to tear this one apart? Do you want me to ruin your adulthood?
That's
because your childhood already sucks because the original Thundercats is unwatchable.
That's the one where cats are being struck by lightning, right?
All the time.
Right? I'll kill you, Sean.
What?
Okay.
And hide you in the back of Dylan.
You guys not liking Gantz. You ready?
But Gantz is not likable. Thundercats is awesome.
Okay, the animation's amazing, and don't get me wrong. The new one is infinitely more watchable than the old one. The problem was... is anything multiplied by zero is still zero. And the old one is still terrible.
Yeah, just like Uma Thurman.
No, it's not.
Shut
the
up.
Old one is awesome.
Well, here's my thing. The story it's all over the place. And there are several instances in which I remember characters acting out of character.
You're breaking Andrew's heart right now.
I know, and that's, I mean, well, I warned him, no, but like, not, he brought but... it up. So,
Andrew, are you still with
I'm
us?
Sorry, Andrew, I disagree.
No, it doesn't shatter me at all, because we've had this conversation before.
Oh, yeah, oh, no. But... It wasn't a conversation. I would definitely call what we did a fist fight.
No, but I mean,
you still made good points.
I mean, what's cooler than like the bad guy? Like almost every 80s cartoon that was watched was, why is the bad guy the bad guy? Because he's evil. Like, that's just simple facts when you watch an old TV show like that. Why'd you do that bad thing?
Because I'm evil. It's a skull.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I think this falls into why you guys are such huge anime fans, is you guys can just accept that and move on. I have a problem with that.
Maybe they're being really mean to him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Shredder could have been a good guy. The Turtles had fucking maybe invited him over for pizza every now and then.
No, he's evil.
Evil is relative.
No, 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 he's evil.
See? They're man-a-man. They're like man-a-man in their head.
I think they're just racist.
They're like, fuck evil. Let's do this. No, don't get me wrong. I did enjoy the new Thundercats. There was several points during... Was it? It's been two seasons now, right?
No, it's only one season.
Oh, well, that didn't help it either. There was a pretty long break in between, I guess, the first and second half of that season?
Yeah, there was.
Okay. Well, there were some filler episodes in there that just made me completely lose interest.
Well, those are called filler episodes.
No, but the floppy ear rabbit dude was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, from the
swordsman episode, yeah.
I think though that's just one of my favorite remakes, because I'm just a huge Thundercats nerd. Like, Thundercats is just my favorite, so that's probably why.
We know.
Yeah, I think, yes.
You've either mentioned it 8 or 9 times on the podcast, depending on how many podcasts we've had.
Well, I have to make it up. I have to make it up because I think episodes 1 through 4, I was like, oh, I should have mentioned Thundercats there. So now I'm like trying to do it all I can.
Yeah, well, at least because I'm in a Fist of the North Star reference.
That's just the review.
But no,
man.
It's cool. No, I completely understand why you would be that fangirlish over Thundercats.
Over cat ears.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. The Fist of the North Star.
It's how we show
affection.
We make fun of each other.
Which is another remake, yeah. It is. Yep.
What's that?
The Fist of the North Star movie.
Damn it.
Yeah.
It had to be relevant.
Yeah, which can be taken in two different directions. We have the Fist of the North Star movie, which sums up the entire series, which is like all 200 episodes in an hour and a half.
Yeah,
and then we
which
also
is really
have
easy because the 200 episodes are the
punching,
same episode.
Yeah, just punching the bad guy and exploding him. Right.
That's pretty much. And but the bad guy changes shape and color throughout. The
so
episodes.
He's like a final boss.
Yeah,
and they uncensored it for the movie version of it. But the other point I wanted to make is that there's also
the live action
American version of Fist of the North Star, which is
that dumb,
fantastic
right?
in its
we,
own right.
We should do a commentary to that. That would be really funny.
I think we should.
Yeah, that movie was really fun to watch. It's terrible, but it's really fun to watch.
You guys have a really sadistic version of fun.
Rufio is in it.
Yeah, he's bat. It's awesome. But hey, so you guys are our studio audience. Email us or something at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That is wickedanimereviews, all one word, gmail.com.
Send Andrew pictures of you wearing cat ears.
He'll enjoy it.
Anyway.
Dudes.
And if you want to like us on Facebook, you can like us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/wickedanime and like us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook at wickedanime/Facebook.
I totally like us on wickedanime/Facebook.
What do you want us to do?
Go to facebook.com/wickedanime and like us on Facebook.
I did that.
It's going to be like Clockwork Orange for the people listening to us.
If you want to check out our other videos and our cool review videos, just go to youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where you can see all of our entertainments. and everything like that. And you can also catch those same reviews and interviews on nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can also listen to this podcast if you're not listening to it on iTunes.
How'd you do that?
How'd I do what?
I'm asking the audience.
Oh, how did you do that?
What's the song? We close with a song.
Well, I guess we're gonna choose an anime theme that has been remixed. Hey, you know what? This is a good opportunity to email us and tell us which anime theme song it is.
And like
good luck,
because
we're not gonna tell you. So here's the song, and
wasn't it great?
First, we
so
gotta
I think
sign
it's
off.
Time to say goodbye the only way we know how.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye. So the new one that I'm doing is only a minute long, like, so it's shorter, and I already have all the pictures drawn.
That's cool. Yeah. What is it?
You're gonna have to find out.
When, well,
no, screw you. I'm a member of the podcast. You can tell me this crap.
I didn't even tell Dylan.
Hurry up. Is it done yet?
Oh, did you not want to tell Dylan? No, Dylan, did you not want to know?
No, I just asked him, and he told me he wouldn't tell me.
Oh, why would you not tell Dylan?
He's like Santa.
How does that even make sense?
He only gives you a gift one day of the year.